y'all. Welcome back to the Confessions of a Crappy Christian podcast, a place where you and all of your crap are not just welcome, you're wanted. I'm your host, Blake Guichet, and every week I'm showing up with a new friend to talk about the things we're really great at, the ways Christ fills in the gaps on the things that we're not, and how he has been faithful to make his power perfect in our weaknesses. My hope is that you walk away feeling empowered and not alone in your struggles, and that people sharing their stories pushes you to share yours. All right, let's do this. Y'all, today's interview is with Bailey Hurley. Bailey is a writer and speaker who invites women to creatively build rooted community in their corner of the world. During our interview, she shares so much incredible and tangible knowledge about friendship and community, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's so good. It spoke to me so much. I can't wait for you to hear it. Bailey, hey, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me, Blake.
I am so excited. Okay, so when I originally emailed you about coming on the show, we were talking about, I was like, let's have a conversation about hospitality. And after a minute, we were both like, that's a huge topic. Like, let's narrow it down a little bit. And so we're going to talk about like true rooted community and like loving where you are, because I know that those are some things that you're really passionate about. And so, but to open us up, can you just like tell us a little bit about yourself? I just intro'd you, but I always like to let the person do a better job than me.
Yes. So I live in Denver, Colorado, and I have been married to my husband for almost 4 years. His name is Tim. And I think my favorite thing about Tim is that he is an amazing partner that the Lord has just like brought to my life. And so when it comes to things like hospitality and community building, I really feel like he is like my perfect partner in that. And so we, I think, share in common a love for loving people, for having an open door policy to our home. We lead a small group. We've led a small group for like over 2.5 years. And so I think having someone who's willing to have people in your house every single Wednesday for over 2.5 years is a big deal. So I always say I'm the planner, I'm the organizer, I'm the one that's like kind of like the manager of the situation. And then he is just the yes man. He's kind of like, yeah, like let's do it. That sounds great to me. And it's just so good, I think, at bringing in those people who are kind of on the outside in. Mm-hmm. And so again, I'm just like dream team for loving people. And I'm so grateful for him. And then we have a son who is 2.5. His name is Hunter. And Hunter is just the best. And then we're about to have a little girl for the first time in like 2 weeks. So
yes. Like when I emailed you, you were like, yes, I'm down, but can we do it soon? Because my due date's in 4 weeks. So, which is so cool that you're like willing to come on. I love the idea of y'all like being a dream team, as far as like, that's kind of my husband and I's dynamic of like planner, manager, like, let's do this. I just need him to be on board. And so, and I forget to be thankful that he is on board, because I know that that is not like, that's not everybody's situation. I know that there are people who feel called to certain things and don't have a husband that's on board. And so that's like a reminder of like, he doesn't plan stuff, but he's on board for it. If I'm down, like he's down. So I love that. So rooted community, you kind of have like two like hashtags, let's call them. So
yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. So outside of it being a stay-at-home mother and just like loving, I think, the people in our community here in Denver, I have the opportunity to like to write and speak on the topic of female friendships, but then also biblical rooted community. And that kind of came from this, I think, idea of, first, I think the Lord just has blessed me with incredible community in the past. But then when you move to new places or you experience these bumps in the road in your friendships, like you really gotta like pick yourself up, and like the Lord's teaching you something. Mm-hmm. And so I think through those experiences, because the Lord has really directed this path of the importance and also like the value of deep, authentic, and what I like to call rooted community. Mm-hmm. Because I think that that is a better description of the type of community we're all looking for. Because I do think that we get into these cycles of surface level friendships or surface level relationships, and we just don't know how to go any further than that. Mm. And so we kind of just cycle through different friend groups. We cycle through different churches, different small groups, still just like looking for this ideal community. And we're just not really sure how to find it. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, after struggling with that, it was this kind of call of saying, yeah, maybe you're not going to find it. So it's time that you create it yourself. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so good.
So that's kind of, yeah. So that's kind of how Rooted Community came to be, as I was staying at home, wanting mm-hmm. to still pursue some kind of speaking career. That's my education was in public speaking and leadership. That's what I got my master's in. And so being at home, I thought, I don't really know what this is going to look like.
Yeah.
And so 3 years in, I'm enjoying being able to have my own like personal website, but have started doing some events as well to promote like a shared friendship building experience, as well as getting the practical tools for engaging your friends. So that's kind of, I'm like, that's what I get to do on the side. Very fun, very creative.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So, and like it. So needed, I think, because like, I mean, friendship is hard, like especially in this season of kids, and some of them go to school and some of them don't. And if you're trying to pursue any kind of career or yes. side thing, you said about like you hit bumps in the road, mm-hmm. and I don't think that we're necessarily, I mean, most of my listeners are women, so we'll make it like women centric friendships, like equipped to handle those bumps in the road, mm-hmm. or like do conflict well, or realize that like conflict is a part of relationship, and mm-hmm. if we can do it well, then your relationship thrives and like grows in that, you know, versus yes. like, oh, we're upset with each other. That's it. This is that's mm-hmm. the end, you know?
Yes.
And I think, I know I've seen you talk about that. The idea is that your roots have to be in Christ first.
Yes. 100%. Yes. And I believe that that is probably the biggest thing in having healthy, fruitful relationships. Like mm-hmm. I don't know how you could do without that.
Absolutely.
And I always kind of approach this idea with a metaphor of like a doorway. So kind of this threshold. Mm-hmm. And so I think oftentimes I think because when you like enter into someone's house, like that's where community can take place. Cause mm-hmm. that's our kind of like where our community is taking place. But I think there's just this kind of idea of like, you have maybe like made it to the door, but you mm-hmm. still can't seem to walk in. Mm-hmm. Like something is like keeping you from like stepping over into the threshold into this community that God has for you. And so I feel like the barriers are the insecurities that our enemy like plays on or like pries on. And so I think one of the ways to look at it is this idea of trying to become more and more aware of what those barriers are. Because I don't know if they'll ever fully go away, because we're imperfect and we're going to hurt each other and we're going to say things we didn't mean to, and we're going to wrestle with our insecurities probably for the rest of our lives. But being able to quickly recognize and then come back to truth is like the number one thing.
Yes.
To make it through community, to like yes. make it yes. friendships. And I think personally, I think of this example a lot, but one of our Wednesday small groups, I was putting our son to bed upstairs. So I was missing like the social time before we have discussion. And these are people I've known a very long time. And these are like men and women who I feel very comfortable with. Like these are our people and our friends, our family. And I was coming downstairs and I saw like the women were kind of circled up talking, and immediately just like a wall came up, and I felt hurt. I felt left out. I was like, oh man, they don't even really care if I was here or not. Like they didn't miss me when I was upstairs. They're not immediately welcoming me into the circle. And so in my heart, I just felt this like, well, fine. Like, I'm not going to say hi. I'm not going to be excited to see them. So I think there's just this horrible defensiveness because of some random insecurity. Mm-hmm. And so I think just having walked through this so many times, I like went to the bathroom, I shut the door, And I was just like, okay, Lord, I know that these are emotions from the enemy. Like, mm-hmm. this is 100% like an attack. And I recognize it. I call it out and like, help me just like take a deep breath and breathe and work through this right now. Mm-hmm. So I can almost have a restart, a refresh, walk back out there and I can be a normal human being, like be friendly and excited to see my friends. Like they are excited to see me. But there is just, I think, these different ways that the enemy totally draws us out of community, because that's like, he doesn't want to see those things happen. He doesn't want to see us connecting and growing deeper and bearing each other's burdens and serving one another mm-hmm. and like, you know, reflecting God's love and service and care, like in relationship with other people. And so, yes, like we're all going to battle against these different, I think, lies that happen when we are approaching community, when we're like walking into that threshold and we just kind of turn around and say, like, I can't go in. Like, I can't really be vulnerable. I can't really trust. I can't really commit my time. I can't really, you know, let my guard down. And I think that we all respond in different ways too, which I never thought I would say this about myself. But when I think of that experience, I do get very defensive. Mm-hmm. And maybe sometimes people get like really emotional or down or hopeless. But I definitely always seem to respond with this like, okay, fine. Like, you don't want to be friends? Then like, I don't want to be friends either. Bye. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have to ever hang out.
I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I don't need you. I don't need anybody. I'll be fine. No, and I think that the reality is exactly what you said about like Satan hates that. He hates mm-hmm. solid Christ rooted community and friendships mm-hmm. and he's gonna throw whatever he can, whether it's your own stuff or it's their stuff mm-hmm. manifesting in your life. Like, he is gonna use whatever he can, and I love the idea of like pissing him off. Like, I love the idea of like like ruining his plans. I literally just last week like had a really difficult conversation with a friend where like some of her insecurity kind of came up and she said some hurtful things and I was like crying, which I'm like not a crier, but in that moment, because my roots are in Christ, because my identity is in Christ, and because we've invested in one another enough that I know that she loves me and I love her, mm-hmm. we were able to kind of like turn it around and be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, hold on. This is not that, like, this is neither of us mean what's like being said. We're speaking out of hurt. We're speaking out of our own insecurity. And I have experienced time and again, like in Christian friendships, that not being what happens,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that it going that way, that you leave, you know, you just get up and you leave and feelings are hurt. And I think we have got to realize that we have to protect our relationships. Like, I think we're told to protect our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have to be protecting our friendships because those mm-hmm. are just as dangerous to Satan. Mm-hmm. Maybe not just as, but pretty dang close.
Yes.
You know, to, like, I think he wants to take those down too. And we're so focused on protecting our marriage and being good moms and those kind of things that we forget, like, we have a call to community.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not protecting that and fostering that, and that doesn't look like seeing each other multiple times a week necessarily. No. Like, it depends on what life phase you're in.
Mm-hmm.
But like, when my eyes aren't on Christ, like, I'm a terrible friend. like consistently. Agreed. I'm a mm-hmm. terrible friend. I don't check in. I put up walls. I believe lies. I believe things about them that like I know are not true.
Yes. And totally. So, and I think you just approach them empty. Yes. And honestly, community is all about pouring out. So when you do, it just isn't going to go well.
Right.
And I think that you are more likely to leave feeling even more drained or exhausted, or just you don't feel satisfied, which mm-hmm. community should never satisfy you. But if you're satisfied in Christ first, like, you're going to find the joy in even in like the weaknesses of your friendship. Like, you'll still see the life that's happening mm-hmm. and you'll feel like this was good.
This
like
is good.
God did something good in our conversation, in our hike, in our whatever, you know, serving communion on a Sunday morning.
Right.
Like, I felt the Lord's presence there. I felt like fruit was being developed, and it's not what the world says. Like, it is not this like, oh, this happiness they gave me something, but there, I think this, again, a deeper feeling of joy of saying, like, you know, yes, like, I poured out into this conversation or I gave more of my time than she did, or being able to serve other people with like a healthy heart. It all comes with being like, yes, because I am full, I am filled, I am satisfied, knowing exactly like what the love and belonging and welcome that God has given me, so I can more readily like give it to other people.
Yes. And I think, I feel like so many of my conversations in interviews lately are circling back to that like cliche of you can't pour out of an empty cup. Like, yes. I can't be a good friend if I am not being filled up by Christ, because more likely than not, I'm going to be grabbing at you to like fill that space that you were never intended to fill. Like, my friends were never meant to fill that space. And then if I need so much from them, then I can't step into their junk with them. I can't step in when they're the one struggling.
Right.
And I am so desperately looking to like have a need met. Then like I can't step in and be like, I'm really sorry. Like, let's go to war. Like, let's fight these lies. This is truth. I can't be a good friend if I'm not rooted in Christ. It's like, it's like a math equation. Like, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And I think it's important to recognize that like you will have those moments and you will have those, you know, friend dates or hangouts that will feel less than. And I think it's okay to say, it's probably because of those things versus like, I guess we just don't click anymore.
Yes.
I guess that they're just in a different season now than I am. I think, again, we're too quick to like make a judgment call that this isn't working anymore or this friend isn't as important anymore, when we like do, again, hit those like stale moments, or it just wasn't that great. Whatever that might be, or there is a conflict. And so I think we're so easy to give up. And I don't think that that's, again, exactly what the Lord wants for us. And so I think to like recognize, you know, that it was either me or maybe something going on in her that it just didn't work out this time.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it's over.
It does, like, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, this isn't like all a wash. It just, like, my husband and I have funky days. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be like, oh, well, I'm done here. We had a weird day, you know? Like, we can't treat our friendships that way either. I totally did not, like, preface this in, like, when we talked before, but have you been in situations where there were friendships that, like, it was time to walk away and for that season to end, and you, like, felt like that was the right thing?
I think that there is, I think that happens quite a bit, and sometimes happens very naturally, which I think is thankfully a beautiful thing. Because I think about college relationships that I've had that you do slowly lose contact over time. And so you can still see a picture of them and you think positive thoughts and know you're like, oh man, like that was such a good season. And either I'm disappointed we aren't friends anymore, or it's good that we both, like, you know, both moved on. And I think that is totally normal and healthy. And so I'd say only a few times in my life have I had maybe a more negative situation where I'm almost like, okay, this, how do I have this conversation that maybe this isn't working or this isn't healthy for us anymore. And again, usually because I haven't fully found like the right way to do it, especially because there's two people involved. I'd say usually it does end more in a like unspoken or in a just more hurtful way, and you can try to like come back to it. But yes, so I do think that happens. And again, I'm like, the Lord, thankfully, or eventually can reconcile those things.
Yes.
Whether between both of you or just for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm like,
I think
so, yes,
that
I have
sometimes
had.
That reconciliation looks like one-sided almost, you know, where like I've been in situations where God just kind of gave me peace and was like, it's okay to like let this go. Like, it's okay to move forward. And I think it's this weird like dichotomy that we as believers and women can get stuck in, that like everybody needs to be my best friend always, but then also I don't know how to do this, you know? So we're like stuck in this tension of, and I believe like obviously like an inclusion and, you know, everybody always, but that's all like, community is community. Community is intentional. Community isn't like 60 best friends, but then also like just making room at the table. Like, I think it's just this like back and forth that we can, friendship is weird and friendship is hard. And like, doing life consistently with people is But thank good, like exactly what you said when we first started talking, I don't know how people do it without Jesus. Like, how do people do relationships without being filled by Christ first? It's hard.
Yes. And I think, and it doesn't always, like, letting go of a friendship, let's say, doesn't always have to either be painful. It doesn't have to be painful either, because I think about our small group, and there's like 19 women in the small group. It's a very large small group. Mm-hmm. And so there is a time where I think I'm open to become friends with each woman that comes, you know, mm-hmm. because when we started, we didn't know anyone. Mm-hmm. So it was new friendships, like walking into our lives. And if they are like, if it doesn't, if sometimes if it just doesn't work, or we live on opposite sides of town, or the friendship isn't reciprocated in some way, I feel comfortable letting that go, but mm-hmm. they're still in our community. You know, like you Absolutely. Have the birthday party that everyone comes to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You have those like three women that you're like, okay, yes, I'm seeing something happening here. But I definitely still try it out. You go on like multiple coffee dates again, you know, like you're getting to know one another. Mm-hmm. And then at some point you're like, okay, I think this is just, I'm just going to let it go.
I'm going to stop trying to force this.
So, and I, again, I don't know if every single time that you feel that it has to be talked about verbally. Hopefully it's just kind of felt thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's okay too. When you talked about like, yes, we can be best friends with, we cannot be best friends with everyone, being comfortable to say that, yes, it's fine. Like, and I gave it a try.
And we can still be in community. We can still do life together. But mm-hmm. like, I think it's okay to like have your people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes like, I know I've struggled with feeling, oh, am I being exclusive? Like, am I being mm-hmm. clicky? But then it's like, no, like God put these women into my life and they are my people. Mm-hmm. And they have proven over time and time again that they are like trustworthy and that I can lean on them and vice versa. And like, that is good. I think that's how mm-hmm. God intended it. And I'm so thankful that that's how he intended it.
Yes.
This episode of the Crappy Christian Podcast is sponsored by Magnolia Inc. Apparently, nobody knows that I make my actual dollars by doing brand and website design work. So I figured, hey, why not sponsor my own podcast and get the word out? I am obsessed with having the opportunity to come up beside dreamers and entrepreneurs and create a brand and an internet presence that will eventually be the foundation their business can stand on. So if you have an idea, or I mean, if you have an existing brand or site that you hate, you need to give your girl a shout. You can find my portfolio and how to get in touch at www.magnolia-inc.com. Or you can always shoot me a DM on Instagram and we can chat about what would be the best fit for you. You can find me at The Girl Named Blake. On with the show. Okay, so I know you also have a really incredible resource you've created, which is Dwell,
mm-hmm.
the City Guide. So I want you to tell us about that.
Yes. So Dwell, the City Guide, again, spurred from this, I think, millennial transitioning culture of this idea. I think we like move a lot quicker. We move often, more often, I think, and we're in college seasons. You're like going to a new place. And I think, again, that's really lonely. And you might not even be new to a place. You might have been there for a couple years, but you still don't feel connected in your city. And so this guide is like a 35-page journal prompt to walk you through getting to know your city better. And as you get to know your city, you kind of find that like, this is where I belong. This mm-hmm. is my, these are my favorite like neighborhood things that I enjoy. Here are the names of my neighbors and the things I'm getting to know about them. Here are even serving opportunities in the city. So kind of asking yourself, like, what are some of the nonprofits in the area mm-hmm. that how could I give back with what I have? And so really connecting you to create this meaningful life exactly where you are.
Yes.
And again, because I think that there is a struggle, and maybe not just millennials, but I definitely see a trend there of feeling dissatisfied. Like mm-hmm. what I have is never enough. I thought moving to Seattle was going to be better than Dallas. I thought moving to Atlanta was going to be better than my like little small town in Michigan. And when you get there, all of a sudden you realize, okay, wait, like I'm still a stranger.
Yes.
Like I still feel unmet expectations and needs, and how do I make this feel good right here, right now with yes. what I have. And so trying to like battle a little bit of that discontent with saying, well, again, like you have the ability to connect with your environment, with your city, with the people around you, to make it a really meaningful experience.
Yes.
What's really awesome is I partnered with this with a local girl named Rachel Gordon, and I'm always like, she totally led the charge in this. So I'm like, all the credit goes to her. And what's really cool is the guide also a percentage, and I think actually right now it's 50% of the purchase goes back to the National Alliance to End Homelessness, which is a obviously nationwide nonprofit. And just again, because we were like, this is so cool, but we want it to again be like giving back to our communities in some way.
Yeah,
that's been very cool.
I love that. And so I've lived in my city for 10 years, and I came here. It's a college town, so I came here to go to college and then like met my husband and stayed. And we're just now starting to put down real roots and like be invested in our community. And so like I'm going to get it. Like I'm going to get Dwell, because we aren't, I think we're so busy, which is such a cop out, but like everybody, like whether you just moved to a city or you've lived there for 10 years, like I look at people who I see invested in Baton Rouge, and that is so cool. And it's not even like believers necessarily, but it's just people who care about the community, that care about their neighbors, that care about the city, and they're doing it super well. And I'm like, imagine if the church stepped up and did that. You know, like imagine if those of us who love Jesus were like loving more than just like the four walls of our church really well. And so that's very challenging and definitely something that I want to step into. And I think it goes right back to what we were talking about with friendship. Like if my investment is in Christ, then investing in my city community should be a relatively natural outflow of that.
Yes, absolutely. And again, I like sometimes feel these red flags going off of like, but I can't do everything. And I don't think that's what Dwell really invites. Instead, it's inviting you to just kind of like do one thing, but do a little bit of your research, you know, where and almost this like, especially if you are not like freshly new to a place, but if you've been there a while, to say, you know what, if I actually sit down and take note, these are the two coffee shops that I frequent the most, and maybe there's something there, like maybe this is, or know the like the regulars that come in, or even just, I don't know, kind of like serve or give back. I was attending this gym that was like less than a mile run from our house. And this is before we moved. And I think I'd been going for maybe 2 years or something. And it was just a gym, but I was, you know, wanting to, like, you would talk to people in the classes, the classes that you're in that you saw regularly. I made up a day where it was like, appreciate your gym day. And I like brought Gatorade for all the workers and the trainers. Aww. And they were just like, this is the coolest thing ever. And so it wasn't big. I wasn't trying to tackle like a local issue or anything like that. But it was just like, I already go to the gym. This is a part of my city. These are people who like live in my community. So like, what can I do that's small that I can kind of, just be invested in a place that I'm already consuming.
Yeah.
So you know, it's this idea of like, okay, if we're just this like consumer culture and we're taking, taking, maybe like what can you give back to like maybe what you're already doing, or for if it's your first time of saying, okay, where could I be giving back?
Yeah.
To create this like meaningful experience for me and my community.
Yeah. And I think that what holds us back from that is the same exact thing that holds us back from person-to-person friendship is like my first thought is, oh, I don't want people to think I'm weird. Like, I don't want people to think that I'm like, you know, a weirdo. But our old pastor used to always say, like, be different but not weird. Like, that's different. Like, that is, like, you didn't, I'm sure you weren't like, here's a Gatorade and let me, like, preach the gospel. Like, you're just like, here's some Gatorade. And, like, that, like, registers for people. There's something different about this person. What the heck, like, she cares about the gym. Like, that's just such a tangible way to be Christ with people, to people, without being you know, handing out tracts and being obnoxious about it.
Right.
This is like so much incredible tangibility that I'm like, I have an obnoxious amount of notes. So good. And like, that's kind of the heart of this podcast, is giving people like just realistic ways to take steps forward. And you are doing such an incredible job equipping people for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful to like have been able to have a conversation with you about it before you have a baby. So to close out, we do some like rapid fire questions. What is your Enneagram type?
I am a type 3.
Okay.
And like through and through.
Yeah.
Like, there is no ifs about it. Like, yes. Like, yes. I am type 3.
Yeah. You're, like, you read the list and you're like, yes, 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 uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
I love it. I'm an 8 pretty through and through, like, to my core. So, yes. I get it. I used to say I was an 8 wing 8.
That's amazing.
But I think I actually do have a 7 wing. The more that I learn about it. But what is something that can always pull you out of a funk?
I think being outside. We are so lucky to live in a place where it is sunny over 300 days of the year. And it is a very outdoorsy culture. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I grew up in the Midwest and the weather is so brutal and there are no such things as like walking paths. I don't know. You just drove everywhere.
Yeah.
And so it's amazing. Like, it's not uncommon to, yes, walk everywhere, be outside. And so I feel like whenever I'm feeling like I just going outside for 30 minutes. Yes.
It's like at your fingertips. Like,
yes. Oh,
it's
yes.
It's like right there.
And the weather totally affects my mood. And so the fact that it's not cloudy a lot, it just makes my life better. And whenever it is cloudy for a couple of days and then the sun comes back out, I'm just like, oh my gosh.
There you are. We're on like week 2 of rain here in Louisiana, where like you can't step in the grass without your foot just like sinking into it. My kids are losing their minds. I'm like, I'm with you, sister. Like, I miss the sun. Like, the weather directly affects my mood. Mm-hmm. As well. And the last one is, what is the last thing you watched on TV?
We actually just watched last night the KU basketball game. So I'm like, maybe nice. Not a show per se,
yeah.
But we love Kansas basketball and they won.
Yes.
Which is good because they're having a terrible season.
My mom went to KU.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. I feel like once you're a KU fan, you're always a KU fan. And so, yeah, we were excited that they actually won a game.
Yeah.
And we're very invested in our invested. Little Hunter wore a jersey, his like KU jersey to bed last night. And so we're just like, that was probably the luck charm. So now,
now
every
time
they play, and also Hunter wore today too. We like dropped him off at his sitters and he's like, this is what I want to wear.
Yeah.
We're like, all right.
Okay.
It's 30 degrees outside. You're not, it's like, you know, tank top, whatever.
My girls both have KU t-shirts. And we live in Louisiana. So it's like, it's a little weird when we wear them out in public. People are like,
what?
KU? Like, what? to close this out, can you tell people like where to find you and follow you?
Oh, yes. Okay. So for daily conversation, I am very heavily on Instagram at bailey.t.hurley. And then for like tangible resources, I also have a shop that has like some fun friendship products where you can get the Dwell, the City Guide. And then also I have some free friendship journal prompts on there, which are free for download and they're awesome. It's like 8 pages walking you through how to kind of define friendship for your current season of life.
Nice.
And so you can find those there too. And that's at baileytherley.com. So that's at my website. And I feel like those are the two main places where there's like, you know, kind of the stagnant, here's get all your resources.
Yeah. Like, and then come talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll link to all of that in your show notes, which is at confessionsofacrappychristian.com. Bailey, thank you so much. This was such a great conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much for chatting with me, Blake.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Confessions of a Crappy Christian podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, and you can find the show notes and more information about the show at confessionsofacrappychristian.com. I'll see y'all next week.
This morning, Jen woke up, made 3 breakfasts, did 2 loads of laundry, and 1 conference call. But she also saved $25 because Jen uses a new innovation from Huntington called Money Scout. It analyzes Jen's checking account to find money that's not being used and moves it to her savings automatically. Learn more and enroll at Huntington.com/Money Scout. Huntington, welcome. Message and data rates may apply to text alerts. Money Scout is subject to eligibility, terms and conditions, and other account agreements. Member FDIC.
Start a rewarding new career right away. Giant Eagle has immediate openings for supermarket positions, including curbside roles, get-go positions, pharmacy technicians, and warehouse workers. To find your new job and get hired in as little as one day, visit jobs.gianteagle.com.